So what I'd like to talk about this morning is fellowship. I want to talk about fellowship. And the purpose of the message is to expand or deepen our understanding about fellowship. I'm going to focus today on the what and the who of fellowship first. I won't really get into the why or the how. I'm thinking about doing a second part of this message that focuses on the why and the how. So give me feedback afterwards. If you like it, I'll maybe do another one. If you don't say anything. But I just want to talk a little bit about fellowship. This is one of those subjects that as I cracked it open, it's a lot deeper and a lot more profound than I realized. We're going to spend time in the New Testament today just focusing on a couple key verses around fellowship and really focusing in on the primary word that is brought out about fellowship. And that word, I won't pronounce the Greek, but the meaning is partnership, participation. There's a social aspect to it. Communication, communion, distribution. Properly, it's what is shared in common. Shared in common, or just sharing. The root of the word fellowship, biblically, is this idea of commonality or sharing of something. What do you share together? What do you have in common together? That's the basis for our fellowship. So, examples of fellowship or sharing or partnership before we dive into the scripture. These are in our lives already. Work colleagues. Those of you who have other colleagues, employees, people you work with. That's a type of fellowship. Business partners. There's even like a financial exchange. You're together. You're working together with a shared goal of delivering a product of value or creating a profit. There's a benefit there. That's a type of fellowship. A baseball team. It's a fellowship of 9 players out on the field. But then in the background, there's coaches, there's relievers. The Olympics are coming up. There's kind of types of fellowships there. There's the team itself, but then there's also the national fellowship, a common goal, a common purpose, and a shared value. The one that we're all most familiar with is probably our families. Our families are a type of fellowship. When you're in a family, you share a commonality with other people. Siblings share parents. You often share environments. You often share values. Spouses share this as well. You're together in fellowship with one another. So the idea here is that we don't ourselves own the commonality. We don't ourselves own the commonality. In fact, the other person or the persons involved are part of that fellowship. If they were not involved, it would no longer be a fellowship. It would no longer be a fellowship. I don't own it alone. You don't own it alone. You're actually dependent on somebody else being part of it. But when we talk about fellowship in the scripture, the fellowship of the church, is that the same thing as the fellowship of our work colleagues? Or the fellowship of a baseball team, or the fellowship of even our own families? We're going to answer that question. Again, my purpose is just to expand and deepen our understanding of what this actually means biblically. What is fellowship among the people in this room? What is fellowship among like-minded believers in the broader body of Christ? Let's start in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, there's a couple key passages here that we'll lean into to understand this. Starting in verse 1, we're going to go verses 1 through 7. 1 John 1, 1 through 7, Apostle John speaking or talking here, not talking, writing. That which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is concerning Jesus Christ. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And I'll stop there for a moment. I want us to notice how many times he says we. John is saying we. He's sharing in this knowledge. He's sharing in this knowledge with others because he recognizes there's a commonality between the reader and himself. And what's he doing? He's pointing them immediately to the reality of Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection, and the truth of that witness. If you notice in those first couple passages, it's almost repetition. He's kind of saying the same thing over and over, but in different ways. And he's just pointing to the experience he had being somebody who, through his senses and observation skills, understood Christ. He felt him. He heard him. He saw him. And he's saying, that's a witness. Me and others have witnessed this. Also, by the way, John 8:18, if you wanted to write it down, God himself is a witness. The Father is a witness, and Christ is a witness. So he's really kind of bring that all together to say, this is our commonality. This is the thing we share. We all believe this testimony. We all believe who Christ is and was and did and is going to do. Let's keep going in verse 3. From which we have seen and heard and declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. So there's that sharing concept. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he even expands it here. It's not just what you and I share together. It's actually part of being in fellowship with God and his Son. God and his Son. So it's a much broader use of the sharing. The sharing is amongst us and God, us collectively and God. But there's kind of an order there that doesn't quite come out here. It'll come out later, where God is the source of this, and then we're brought into it. We'll get to that in a little bit. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So part of the fruit, if you will, of the fellowship is joy. There's a joy involved with understanding the sharing and the commonality between God and us with each other. There's a joy there that's not found on a baseball team. That's not found in a work environment, typically, unless you're with believers, potentially. It's not found in a family, unless your family's also full of believers. Doesn't mean there's not good things there, by the way. Those are all good things. This is not found there, though, unless there's the commonality of who Christ is, who the Father is, and who we are. Keep going. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Again, there's that repetition. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We're going to come back to that point in another passage. If we say, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is a contingency here. The fellowship is contingent on not living in evil, not dwelling and being among sin, if you will. If we decide to not participate in this fellowship through sinful actions, habitual, repetitive, sinful actions that go unrepented of, we lose fellowship with God and with each other. That's the consequence here. We lose it. We actually are not able to fully partake in it. And again, we'll go back to the story of light and darkness. You know, when I was being called by God and deepening my understanding as a young man, one of the trials at that time for me was that many if not most, of my, I'll call them my childhood friends. I ended up having to sever relationships there. And some of them got severed more dramatically than others, and some of them just kind of went away. And I know many of you in this room had to go through that when you came into the church, or God was working with you. Because you're just not compatible. Your lifestyles are just not compatible. It doesn't mean you stop loving them, doesn't mean you stop caring about them, or even that you stop talking to them. It just means there's a level of sharing and commonality that is not there, that we have to make a choice about, that we have to understand this is not the fellowship that I can participate in at the same level. We didn't share a common goal or belief system. You know, when you accept the fellowship of God, when you accept that hand of fellowship, you have to recognize not everything can come into that space, as it says here in 1 John. There's certain things that are just not allowed. And it's a difficult thing. Let's go to another passage. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm just going to hit a couple key passages about this topic. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. When I talk about what do we have in common and what do we share, that's what we're going to go over in the next couple passages here. What are we actually sharing in? What do we have in common as a group here? This is the most obvious one in some ways, in the sense of we're all very familiar with it. 1 Corinthians 10:16. I'm just kind of cutting into the thought here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? It's the same word there. It means fellowship, means sharing, means what you have in common. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of the one of that one bread. We do this annually on the Passover. We just went over these verses in the spring. But the basis of our fellowship is the acceptance and the internalization of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Same thing that John went over in the first part of his passage. Not only that, it is also the shared communion of his resurrected life. We are saved by his life. You are saved by his life. I am saved by his life. We share that in common. You eat the bread. I eat the bread. We share that in common. You wash my feet. I wash your feet. We share that. This is the basis of what we have together. Our Christian fellowship is not the social committee at church. No offense against the social committee. You guys do great work. And we're going to talk, maybe in the next one, we'll talk more about the how and why that committee is so important. But it's not the social committee. Fellowship is not social interaction. There is a social component of it, as I mentioned earlier, but it's not the core. It's not the commonality. If you want a social fellowship, you participate in a knitting club or a stamp collector's club or book reading or... I'm making it sound like these are my hobbies. They're not my hobbies. That would be, I mean, more power to you if that's your thing, but not mine. That's where you go for social fellowship. But this kind of fellowship is different. It's really, well, hold on. I think I'm out of order here. The fellowship that I'm talking about is determined by God, and it is with God. Determined by God and with God. It's really an extension of the promise that God will build his church. It's built on something. So we should really lay hold of that and really feel an ownership as part of it, as part of something. This fellowship isn't just God and Christ. It's actually us with God and Christ. Mr. Petty talked about this on Pentecost a little bit. this idea of dwelling together and abiding together. We're part of this too. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's interesting to me, many of the books, these letters, no matter who they're written by, they kind of open with this concept, this level setting, if you will, of who we are and what we're doing. Many of them open with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Written at the end of Peter's life. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained... So how did we attain it? We got it from God. This comes from God. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What Peter's going to go over here is he's going to highlight things we share in common. What is the basis of our fellowship? He's going to go over this. One of those is a like precious faith. We share that. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's another thing we share. We have a basic knowledge, revealed knowledge from God. Revealed. It's a miracle. Verse 3. As his divine power, there's another thing we share, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We share that Holy Spirit, the divine power. We share the calling to glory, and the calling to grow as sons and daughters of his. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We share these promises that God gives. We all share those. And probably, if I can argue, the most important one that he mentions here is that we are partaking in his divine nature. His divine nature. It's a spiritual bond and fellowship that God is extending to you and to me through Christ. It's a unique relationship. It's a family relationship. These are the things we hold in common: faith, promises, knowledge, the Holy Spirit, divine nature. Again, all sourced from God. In other passages, we won't go there for the sake of time, we also share in the gospel message. If you want to write it down, it's Philippians 1:5. We share in the gospel message. And then there's other passages that talk further about how much we share in the Spirit. And you see that in the book of Acts. You see the commonality in the sharing because we were all moved by the church at the time was moved by the same power. It's a divine family relationship. You could even call it a holy fellowship. It's holy. It's set apart. Part of our understanding of what is fellowship is bringing that with us as we interact with others. When we enter this church hall, it's very easy for us to go into our normal routines. We sit in the same spot. Nothing against this. I do the same thing. We sit in the same spot. We talk to the same people. Hopefully you get around, but it is hard for people over here to talk to people over here. It's just naturally, it's difficult. And we get in here and sometimes it feels like you kind of have the same conversation. I know you're probably thinking, I'm never going to talk to Brandon again. He's going to complain about our conversation. I never regret any conversations I have. But all I'm bringing out is, do we recognize that, yes, we're in the same physical location, but What's more important is understanding when we walk into the hall the commonalities and the sharings that we have based on what we just have been reading here. We have great fellowship with one another simply through our calling. If you're ever stuck on how to strike up a conversation with someone that maybe you don't know too well in the church hall, maybe start with what you share in common, why we're here together. So you could say something like, tell me about when God started working in your life, or talk to me about your journey into where you're at right now. What aspect of the kingdom are you looking most forward to? I bet we all have different answers on that one. It's kind of a fun topic to discuss. What are you currently studying? What did you learn this week? We all study. We all look at our Bibles. What are you confused about? What do you have questions on? Starting with what we share and what we have in common is a good place to start with members in this room. Doesn't mean we can't talk about our work lives or social interactions, our knitting clubs. Doesn't mean we can't talk about that. But that is not why we're here. We're here because of our shared fellowship with God, Christ, and each other, rooted in the things that we've just covered. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. This will be our final passage here, because there's one other thing I want to bring out about this topic. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. While it's important for us to recognize what we do share, it's also important for us to recognize what we don't, or what we can't share in together, what we shouldn't share in together. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When I was a kid, I thought this talked about an egg. Everybody, all kids did, right? What does it mean to have a yoke and an egg? Like, I don't understand this. It's not a yoke, Y-O-L-K. It's a yoke that goes on the back of animals to do work. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? Same word. Well, actually, that's a different word. It's the only time it's used is it's a slightly different word, and it means partnership, but it's a kind of a lesser extreme than the fellowship word we've been working off of today. It means partnership, but maybe not quite as clear-cut. A little bit of mixture there. So what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion, that's the same word there, the one we've been working through. What communion, what sharing, commonality has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You and I cannot be linked spiritually to unbelievers. It's an unwise thing to be bound in a spiritual enterprise or pursuit with those whom you do not share fellowship, defined scripturally, with. It's unwise to do that. You cannot walk and you cannot work alongside darkness or lawlessness. You'll struggle to be productive, you'll be unfocused, and you'll be unprofitable. Light and dark have no association with one another. You know, even scripturally, it talks about the light casts out the darkness. They just do not mix. You're either dark or there's a presence of light. That's it. They don't mix. Dark is dark. We must accept that the fellowship we are part of requires us. It requires us to be separate according to the moral code set forth by God and according to what he is asking of us. So, again, Mr. Petty has been talking about, a couple weeks ago he gave a sermon on Christianity is not inclusive. It's just not. There's a separation that has to take place. And while we have gone over what is shared in common amongst us here in this room, it's equally important to understand what we don't share as part of this fellowship, and to keep that out of the lives of ourselves, our own lives, and the lives of others in this room. We're part of Jesus' body and God's temple. He goes on, Paul goes on to talk about this. Meaning God is the source and owner of the fellowship. He owns the building. It's his body. It's his house. He sets it up. He provides for it. He invites us to join it. We belong there at his invitation. You know, this is different. This came out last week as well. This is different from Israel, from the ancient Israel, when God dwelt in the tabernacle among them. He was among them. God is dwelling in us. This fellowship is shared with us, each other, and with God and Christ. It is a shared fellowship. And the end of the passage here goes back to the overall picture and purpose, which is family and the children of God. Children of God, what our purpose is. So what is fellowship? It's a spiritual work led by God in Christ, led by God in Christ with them and with others whom are also drawn to Jesus Christ. By definition, it requires that others must be part of it. And others must join in as partners, collaborators, participators, and benefactors. Because of what we share together, what we have in common, we have our faith, we have the gospel, we have the Holy Spirit, we have our calling, list goes on and on. I didn't hit all of them, by the way. There's many things we have in common. And importantly, it's also an understanding of what is not allowed as part of this fellowship. I highlighted several of our shared commonalities, but I'll leave you with a challenge. What else do we share in this room? As identified in here, there's many other passages that talk about what you and I actually share together. And it's got nothing to do with a social or a potluck or a knitting club. It's more than we realize. So I encourage us to find out what those things are.